views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from cloudy Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150 radio at Hubbard Radio. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 radio out there in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York, on one of the 35 stations in Australia, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, you're going to be glad you joined us, because we are going to be getting some wonderful insight from somebody who can help us take this chaos within our own personal lives, the chaos within this external, you know, reality that we're living in, and help us to live in a different sort of way to shift our lives and, of course, ultimately shift the planet. But before I get into who that guest is and what we're going to be talking about, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hi, Benny.
I'm trying to relieve all my chaos.
You know.
Okay, I'm good now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
that's the start, is breathing.
It is.
A lot of people forget. That's where I try to jump in and remind the listeners.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'll take a deep breath,
you too.
And you two at home.
The
yes.
present moment.
I came running in and now I've taken a deep breath.
You had your breakfast. We're good to go.
Yes, my bite of protein bar. Yes. I'm really excited about our guest today. Our wonderful associate producer, Peggy Snow, found her way to this woman and she's like, oh, we have to have her on the show. And our guest today is Ellen Tadd. She's an internationally known clairvoyant counselor. She's an educator, and she's been teaching counseling and counseling for more than four decades. She's widely respected for the integrity of her work, which is really important in that realm, and the accuracy of her perceptions and her guidance. And her work has been supported by the Edgar Cayce Foundation, a place that's near and dear to my heart, the Marian Institute, Deepak Chopra, Child Spirit Institute, and the Institute of Noetic Sciences, IONS. And the Boston Center for Adult Education, among others. She's lectured across the country at colleges, universities, hospitals, and community groups. And she's the author of a couple of different books, The Wisdom of the Chakras and Death and Letting Go. And her latest book that's hot off the presses, I think it was like the 28th of March, is called The Infinite View, a guidebook for life on Earth. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Ellen Tadd. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, it's wonderful to be talking to you today.
You know, Ellen, I'm fascinated by your background, and I think that for many, probably most, if not all, of the great spiritual teachers on our planet, it seems like everyone goes through some sort of initiation or opening, and I know that you are no different. Can you please share with our listeners what your story is and how you sort of made your way into working within this realm?
Yes. I do like to begin with this story. Well, when I was a child, I had experiences, out-of-body experiences, where I would float out of my body, and I was aware that my consciousness was on the ceiling, and so I was confused, who am I?
Uh-huh.
I saw light around people, and I saw faces in the dark. I really felt frightened because no one around me could explain what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. My father thought I had a vivid imagination.
Right.
And I was raised by my father, who was a physicist. So I grew up in a scientific household.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying to my father, I can see molecules. And then he actually took me to an electron microscope and showed me what molecules look like. And then I knew I wasn't seeing them. So then I was really concerned because I also had a mother who had a severe case of MS.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched her fall apart physically and mentally. And as a sensitive child, I was always asking the question, why? Why is it that my mother is sick? Why is one person sick and one person well? And why is our lives, why are our lives the way they are? And so I struggled as a child. And it wasn't until I was 19. At that point, my mother had died. And she came back and talked to me.
Okay. So, she died at what? You were 17, 18? How old were you when she passed?
I was 17.
17. And I think about how, as a young woman, you know, going into adulthood, how important that mother figure is. So it must have left quite the hole in your life.
Well, actually, she went into a nursing home when I was 8.
Oh, my goodness.
So I really didn't know her very much.
Okay.
And I certainly didn't know her as a healthy person.
Right.
Because she was diagnosed when I was 2. And then I loved, I always say my mother gave me birth and my mother gave me rebirth.
Ooh.
And the experience was that I visited my brother in New York City, and his girlfriend at the time was a trans medium.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me, is there anyone who's dead who you'd like to speak with? And I didn't know if I believed in life after death. And and I said, but if I can, I'd like to speak with my mother. And she went into trance that night, and I could see my mother's face superimposed over hers.
Wow.
And my mother gave me the message that no matter how things appear, if you look deeply, you'll see there are reasons. And after that, it was like a veil was lifted, and I stopped fighting this natural ability that I had,
mm-hmm.
and I started to see and converse with beings in the spiritual world who became my teachers.
Right. So at what point did you start working within this film, within this realm, helping others through intuitive counseling?
Well, I started having experiences where beings in the spiritual world communicated with me. And I think because I came from an academic background, I was interested in the bigger questions. Mm-hmm. I wasn't so much interested in giving a message from a dead relative, even though that's what opened me. So I was really aspiring towards the philosophers and the teachers. And so for a 5-year period, I learned. And, you know, I actually dropped out of college because I had such vivid experiences that this became my form of education.
Uh-huh.
And so after that 5-year period, I started to do private sessions. And the beginning of private sessions happened because I would look into a person's hand, and then I actually would have visions of their previous lives, and I would tell them what I saw. And this isn't something I worked towards developing. It really just happened to me kind of overnight.
Hmm. Interesting. So, Ellen, I know now that you're teaching people to connect within their own lives differently. What is it that we as individuals should focus on to help us to perceive reality differently and live more fully?
So, some of the basic information that my guides and teachers have taught me is that everyone is spirit. I had the opportunity to meet my children in etheric form before they were born.
Oh, wow.
So everyone is spirit.
Uh-huh.
And the spirit is a spark of the God force. We all have within us an enlightened self. And then over the spirit is the soul, and the soul contains our past life memories. And then over the spirit is the soul, and then over the soul is our personality. And, you know, in psychology, we're taught that our genetics and our environment form our personality.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been taught is our genetics, our environment, our past life influences,
mm-hmm.
and our spiritual essence form our personality.
Right,
and I've been taught that fulfillment comes from the actualization of our spiritual nature. So I help people to get in touch with what their spiritual nature is,
mm-hmm.
and what fears or confusions block them from having contact with that deeper essence. And so I teach meditation,
uh-huh.
which I see as primary. And I also teach the activation of the third eye chakra. The right. third eye is the center of clarity. It's the center of wisdom. And I found that when I can help people perceive out of the third eye chakra, that everyone becomes wise sages. It's kind of remarkable.
Okay. You know, we're going to be going to a quick break, but when we return, Ellen, I'm going to want you to share with our listeners a little bit more about the chakras and which chakras most people are living out of, and go into greater depth about why it's important for us to be living by, you know, visioning through things through the third eye. More with Ellen Tad here in just a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the RAD Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraluce.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breaths. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
My one condition is say you'll remember me standing in a nice dress staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm speaking today to Ellen Tadd. She's the author of several books, and her latest, which has just been published, is called The Infinite View, a guidebook for life on Earth. Now, Ellen, before we were going into the break, you were talking about how you teach people to live more from the third eye. Can you please share with our listeners a little bit about the chakras and where most people, like which chakras most people live from?
Yeah. So a couple of decades ago, I became really interested in the chakras because I wanted to understand human behavior. And I didn't read books on them. I just watched them. Because of my natural clairvoyance, I decided to focus on chakras to understand people. And I learned a lot. I wrote a little book called The Wisdom of the Chakras, uh-huh. and in The Infinite View, there definitely is some material about the chakras there as well. But one of the things I learned is that when people move through their daily life, they focus in different locations. And some people focus more in the gut, which uh-huh. is the solar plexus chakra.
Right.
Other people rely more heavily on their analytical mind,
mm-hmm.
and some people focus out of the middle of their forehead. And as I watched people, I began to conclude that when people live in the solar plexus, the tendency is to overabsorb and get overly affected by their environment.
Uh-huh.
And there's also a tendency to be reactionary if things are not as we want them to be when mm-hmm. we're focused there.
Mm-hmm. And now, Ellen, before you go further, I just want you to talk about the consequences of absorbing. What does it mean to absorb, and what would that look like in terms of a person's life?
Well, let's say you're walking into a room with a number of people, and a lot of the people in the room are tense uh-huh. or negative. Absorbing it would be starting to feel tense or okay. negative yourself,
mm-hmm.
and the emotional feelings aren't being generated from you, but rather you're picking them up from other people.
And that yet you probably think that they're your own then, right?
Well, some people might, and yeah. other people may know that they're getting overly affected by the environment they're in.
Okay.
And it can happen positively or negatively. You walk into a room of happy, loving people, and you're in the solar plexus, and you absorb that positivity.
Uh-huh.
Whether it's positive or negative, when we live in the solar plexus, we're more absorbing of what's going on around us.
Okay.
Where the intellect is like our computer. If someone is very much in the intellect, they don't feel very much. They think.
Mm-hmm.
And just like it's great to have a fast computer, it's great to have a developed intellect, but I wouldn't want my computer to decide who I should marry because it's not what wisdom is. Wisdom
right.
is the ability to see the far-reaching impact,
yeah.
and the third eye in the middle of the forehead is the center of wisdom, and it gets activated through focus and concentration. And so I started experimenting with my clients as I gained my understanding, and I created a technique that's now called the TAD technique, which is comparison of perception from the gut to the third eye.
Okay. So
and
how would we go about doing that?
So the exercise is you close your eyes, you mm-hmm. focus in the gut, and then you imagine a scenario. It can be imagine yourself late for an important appointment
mm-hmm.
or imagine yourself in a disagreement with someone you care about. And you're focused in the gut, looking at that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you feel it, and the question is, what do you do also? Then shift to focusing all your attention to the point in the middle of your forehead. And when you look out of the middle of your forehead with your eyes closed at the very same scenario, what's the difference of perception? What's the difference of feeling? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And having done this with large numbers of people, the difference is striking. People go from anxious to calm and making good decisions. People go from confusion. One of my favorite stories in teaching this exercise, I was giving a talk. I taught the TAD technique. And there was a high school student who came up to me, and he said, when I was in my third eye, I wasn't angry. And he kept saying it over and over again because he was so shocked because he saw himself as an angry person. And so what my guides say is that it's only a pivot away. You just shift your focus and it changes everything. So I actually tell people to live life looking through their forehead when their eyes are opened. That it's a posture. When you open two eyes, open three. And the third eye is the center of wisdom and perception. And that third eye center should inform our feeling rather than our feeling informing our perception.
That's profound. And yet you're not talking about trying to control the feelings. It's about triggering the feelings from a different perception.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I see that emotional repression comes when people are living in the solar plexus and they get overwhelmed by emotion. And then they start repressing it as a strategy for managing it.
Yeah.
But when you're in the third eye, you don't repress emotion. You transform it because your perception changes.
So when you're sort of living by perceiving through the third eye, do we judge as much when we do that? Are we judging like feelings or judging others or judging a situation?
I'd like to make a distinction between a judgment call and judgmentalness.
Yes.
So the third eye is the center of a judgment call. It's the center of discernment. So making a judgment call is a good thing. That's key in wisdom. But judgmentalness is being caught in better than, less than, you know, attitudes that are not compassionate.
Right.
And that's the solar plexus pattern. And the reason is when we're in the solar plexus, we get so affected by other people's feelings and our environment that we end up feeling very judgmental when other people aren't balanced because they're raining on our parade.
Right.
You know, they're affecting us.
Yep.
And so we want them to change so we can feel better.
Right.
When we're in the third eye, the aura gets bigger and brighter, and someone can be negative, but we don't get affected by it, and so we can become a positive influence rather than be negatively affected.
So you've talked a lot about the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra, as well as the third eye. Do people ever live out of other chakras besides those two?
Well, people also talk about follow your heart. And what my guides say about that is the heart is a radiator, not a discriminator.
That feels so true. Say that again, because this feels really important.
The heart is a radiator, not a discriminator. And so when people follow their heart, I think they get in trouble. Because what I've been taught is the heart is like the sun. The sun shines in my house, in your house, shines in everybody.
Right.
And when the heart is healthy, it's opened and it's radiating. The third eye is the center of discernment that helps us to know the wise and appropriate way to express love. And so you can love someone very much, but it may be not appropriate to have a relationship with them.
Right.
And if you're following your heart, then the confusion happens. Well, I love this person, so I am supposed to be with them. Well, the third eye sees deeper than that. And so the love can exist, but you can still choose to not spend time with someone.
Right. Oh, yeah. That feels really important because I think that people get tripped up, particularly in relationships, in other areas of life too, but by, you know, following your heart, there's a difference between the emotional heart and the energetic heart too, right? Or do you see a difference between those two?
What do you mean by the energetic heart?
Well, I perceive things in terms of energy, and I think that oftentimes, like, there's the love that's like a vibration, like true love, and then there's the emotional love that usually has some sort of woundedness and attachments and issues associated with it, but is still an important part of our humanness. So I'm just I'm wondering if the vibration of just the vibration of the heart, if that's just a radiator as well, or if that is also a receiver.
Well, what I see with the heart chakra is that it is usually mushed and blended with the solar plexus, which makes it a vulnerable heart and then easily hurt.
Right.
Or the heart can be guided by the third eye because perception informs. Our perception informs our feelings and even the feeling of love. And so when we're perceiving from the solar plexus, we perceive through the lens of our own issues, where the third eye has more objectivity. My guides say that emotional hurt is self-imposed, because when we want something and we don't get it, we can get hurt.
Right, right.
So it comes from attachment.
Yeah. And that oftentimes the attachment is to the victimhood that we're stuck in. Yeah. Yeah, we have to go to another quick break, but more with this fascinating conversation with Ellen Tad when we return.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if she could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like that. It makes me feel like that.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Be unstoppable. Who do executive women count on for up-to-date information on everything from stilettos to being heard in the boardroom? To achieve excellence, you must first take control of your life and develop a successful strategy with the Unstoppable Diva. Tune in to Up or Out with Connie Fife, Mondays 5 p.m. Eastern, as she cuts through the BS to guide you to become bold, connected, and unstoppable. For more information, visit uporout.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. but I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I am talking to Ellen Tadd today, and she's a clairvoyant and an author, an educator, and she's educating us a little bit more about chakras and how when we live from different chakras, it shifts our experience. Now, Ellen, you were talking a lot about how important it is to, you know, to be focusing more on that third eye, and you talk about it as the seat of wisdom. How do we go about doing that? Now, you showed us the TAD exercise. How do we, like, we're sitting in traffic. How do we shift from the solar plexus to the third eye?
So the way to shift with eyes opened is quite literally to stare at a point. And I do it actually throughout the day. If you're driving, you can stare at the end of a branch or the corner of a sign. What activates the third eye is quite literally focus and concentration. And in sports, they call it the zone.
Uh-huh.
When athletes are deeply focused, they activate the third eye and they do their best performance. And it's the same for us. When we focus, we ride life, we don't react to it, we have a greater clarity about what to do to actualize our best. So quite literally looking at points throughout the day.
Interesting. So when I think in terms of connecting with my third eye in that way and some other ways, it's almost like it feels like, how do I put this? It almost feels like the one that's perceiving is bigger than this body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Somehow it's like a larger thing is perceiving reality.
Well, a couple things happen when you perceive out of your third eye. Your aura doubles or triples in size.
Oh, okay.
Because that shift brings a positivity and an attitude change, which expands the aura. And so this feeling of expansion happens because it's quite literally happening.
Uh-huh.
The other is that it's the center of a spiritual perspective, just like the physical eyes are the vision of the physical. And so from a spiritual perspective, we actually feel interconnection. And so that feeling of interconnection also gives us a sense that we're more than just our little selves.
Right. So are there things we can do to, you know, beyond that moment of that focus and then doing the comparison between the solar plexus and the middle of the forehead, are there things we can do to sort of encourage our focus to be more continually through the third eye?
Well, I like to have an imaginary me over my shoulder watching me.
Uh-huh.
And what that really means is self-observation throughout the day.
Okay.
If I get a phone call and the news is less than ideal, I might feel like someone punched me in the gut because,
uh-huh,
you know, I got news I didn't want.
Right.
And so then I have to climb up and bring my focus to the third eye in order to have a more positive perspective of the situation. So sometimes I tap that point so I know where to aim my attention.
Okay.
That's another trick.
I like that.
I have students who use props, you know, whether it's having a specific kind of painting where there's a focal point that they look at, Or, you know, why is it that views are so potent? Well, if you look at the horizon of the ocean or the peak of a mountain, it's another way to activate the third eye. Mm-hmm. So it's staying conscious through self-observation of where are we focused as we move through our day and as we interact, and know that we can shift our focus at will.
Mm-hmm. So as we go about our lives, you know, and work towards shifting this perspective and shifting the focus, what kind of effects can it have?
Well, when I learned many, many years ago, with the help of my guides and my own clairvoyant observation, it literally changed my life. And my students talk about how it changed their lives. You know, let me give you some examples. I'm also working with a student and taking my understanding of the chakra system into elementary schools.
Wow,
and
that's great.
We have in one of our after-school programs a focus corner. Uh-huh. And so there are props there for kids to get focused. One, you know, a balance beam, a peacock feather that they work to balance on their hand, that they have to be focused in order to balance it, uh-huh. or Velcro darts. You know, there are all kinds of ways to learn focus and concentration. But I love the story of a girl, fourth grader, who was having trouble with her homework. And then the teacher said, go to the balance corner and walk the balance beam. Mm-hmm. After she got focused, she was able to finish her homework without so much struggle. And so every day she went to the focus corner before she did her homework. And one day she didn't go there. And the teacher said, why didn't you go to the focus corner today? And the fourth grader said, I've learned I can do it in my mind.
Oh, that's great.
And so she imagined walking the balance beam, uh-huh. and that brought her to third eye focus.
So one of the questions that brings up to me for me is it really about focus, or is it about a different kind of distracted awareness? It's kind of like if we're focusing on one thing, it kind of distracts us from some of the noise. So is it... I'm just asking for clarification about this.
You know, it's quite literal. It's focus and concentration,
okay.
And it doesn't matter what you're focusing on. So, you know, it's interesting for me to observe children when they're reading. Some children are in their gut, mm-hmm. while they're reading, and then they don't have good comprehension. Other children are focused in their third eye when they're reading, and they do have better comprehension. So we all focus in a variety of different ways. And what I found is when we literally focus out of the forehead or focus on a point, the third eye gets activated, and then we activate this spiritual wisdom.
Hmm. That's interesting. So what about
there's a simplicity to it, but the ramifications are profound. I've received immense feedback from people where they make better life decisions that way. They stop being angry. They end up feeling more positive self-esteem. I mean, it's really just a shift in focus changes one's emotional life.
Mm-hmm. And this is just my perception of what you're saying. It seems to me it's getting us from this very human kind of perception to a more spiritual perception of our lives. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love to quote my son when he was in high school. He said, when I live from the solar plexus, I experience the human condition from the human perspective, and it's a tragedy. When I bring my focus to the third eye, I experience the human condition from the spiritual perspective, and it's really interesting.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so as we go about living our lives and we practice this more and more, can this have an effect on not just decisions and some of our circumstances, but our physical well-being?
Well, I think a lot of physical problems can be traced back to poor decisions and to emotional turmoil.
Okay.
So absolutely. I mean, I always say physical problems come from attitude, environment, and karma.
Uh-huh.
And so we have complete control over our attitudes if we're disciplined. Mm-hmm. We have partial control over our environment through our choices.
Right.
And we don't have control over our karma because that's the past. So, you know, I mean, whether we eat quality food or not quality food,
mm-hmm.
that's a decision.
Right.
So we're making so many decisions every day, and each decision is like a pebble in the pond that just keeps rippling.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense. We have to go to another quick break, but when we return, Ellen Tad will share more of her wisdom about living life from a third eye perspective.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Ellen, before the show runs out, I want to make sure that our listeners know how they can connect with you, because I know you teach classes, you offer meditation. I think you do some consultations as well. How can people connect with you?
My website is simply ellentad.com. And so my last name is T-A-D-D. And
it's E-L-L-E-N is the way you spell first name?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. So you've talked a lot about the third eye chakra. How does the crown chakra relate to our human experience here on Earth?
So the crown chakra, located at the top of the head, is the golden halo. Excuse me, the golden halo in religious pictures. Mm-hmm. I call it the key to happiness chakra, because when it's really opened, we feel expansion, we feel glad to be alive, we feel connection. And when it's really closed, we feel depression. Mm-hmm. I actually do say that depression is a closed crown chakra. So what opens the crown is trust, devotion, and inspiration. What closes it is worry and discouragement and fear. And, you know, often I see little children who have wide open crown chakras because they have lots of spontaneity and so much trust that they would go home with a stranger. Mm-hmm. And it actually becomes dangerous if it isn't coupled with the third eye. But too often, the crown starts to close as people age because people start to get discouraged when they don't have everything in life go the way they want them to, you know?
Right.
So, you know, this is where the crown is the key to happiness chakra. And it's so important, I think, that we change our definition of happiness from getting what we want to actualizing our spiritual nature.
That
when the definition of happiness is actualizing our spiritual nature, then even in the midst of adversity, we can find fulfillment.
Right.
But when happiness is hinged on acquiring and getting everything we want, then we're bound to get discouraged and we're bound to get depressed. Mm-hmm. So I think we need a real paradigm shift in understanding what fulfillment is.
Yeah, and I find it interesting that you talk about how, you were saying this on the break, about how the, you know, depression really can be a biochemical reaction. But it's, you were just saying a minute ago that ultimately, I mean, initially the cause is a closed crown chakra. So it's not like, okay, well, you've got the biochemical depression and therefore your crown chakra is closed. You're talking about it actually being the cause of depression, correct?
Yes. So from my observation, someone can have a biochemical imbalance, and that biochemical imbalance makes them feel not well.
Uh-huh.
And then not feeling well feels discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the discouragement that closes the crown, and the closed crown chakra is what brings about the feeling of depression.
Right.
So quite literally in the aura, depression is the aura shrinking. It's depressing.
Interesting.
Happiness is the aura expanding. Expansion feels happy and fun, and contraction feels down and discouraged. So understanding what creates that contraction and what creates the expansion is very, very key. So one of the things I found is that inspiration opens the crown and expands it. So I think it's important and very practical for people to say, what inspires me?
Mm-hmm.
Make a list. What inspires me? And, you know, I remember when my kids were young, and during that period I was a single mother and life was challenging,
mm-hmm.
I would light a fire in the fireplace, or I would make sure I would put flowers on my table,
right.
or play really great music. And I found that if I wove inspiration into my daily life, then I would keep my crown open even in the midst of challenge, and I felt not discouraged.
Uh-huh. Do you think most people actually know what inspires them?
Well, I've asked this question to large numbers of people,
mm-hmm.
and some people do and some people don't, but I remember in one class, a woman said, oh, I thought inspiration would come to me. I didn't know I could seek it.
Uh-huh.
So the idea that we can actually reach out for it, we can create inspiration by the choices we make,
mm-hmm.
is something that's really important for everyone to know.
Right. Oh, I know that there have been times when I've been like really busy or been dealing with something that's very, very heavy. And then all of a sudden I'll feel inspired to say, stop at the store and look at the different colors of towels and feel their texture or, you know, read, you know, a portion of a book or something like that. It's kind of like, and my logical mind will say, you know, you don't have time for this. And yet ultimately it feels like things will flow better, you know, once I do that. So is that following my, it sounds like it's following my inspiration, correct?
Yes. I think that when we feel inspired, our quality of life really improves. And, you know, too often in our busy world, we have our list, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting through our list. Well, I've found it's possible to get through the daily list, but to weave inspiration through it, and then it doesn't feel like drudge. It's really this synthesis of what I call spontaneity and discipline together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we've just got a couple more minutes left, but I just want to mention that, okay, it's one thing to try to find that kind of connection in our daily lives, in our lives with relationships, personal relationships, and our jobs, our careers. But what about the chaos of the external world beyond us? How do we go about kind of maintaining this connection when there are bombs getting dropped and there's political turmoil and, you know, people around you are having, you know, serious health problems, those sorts of issues that are external to us? How do we navigate that?
Well, the two fundamental tools that I teach in the Infinite View are deep listening and deep focus. So deep listening is meditation and really learning the discipline of stilling brain chatter at will, so that we can listen. And then deep focus is the activation of the third eye. And with those tools, we can ask and listen, ask and see. And in my book, there's a chapter on attunement, and I define attunement as aligning our conscious mind with our spirit. And so the question is, given what is, what am I to do?
Right.
And I find that with deep listening and deep focus, clarity comes to us about what our particular role is in life. And when we're in the solar plexus, it's so easy to get overwhelmed and then to lose sight of what our particular contribution is.
Right.
And my guides say it doesn't matter if things are going well or the world is in chaos. Attunement is still the rule.
So I ask this of you, if more and more of us become more attuned, you know, on a more frequent level, how will that shift things in our world?
Oh, it shifts everything. I mean, people go from confusion to clarity. People go from poor decision-making to wise decision-making. People go from feeling unempowered to powerful and influential. We start actualizing our spiritual nature, whether our nature is creativity or our nature is wisdom or power. And so what I see as people embody deep listening, deep focus, and integrate it into their daily life is that we start actualizing our purpose, which means that we're learning, we're contributing, and we're enjoying the gift of our life. And so we stop being overly affected by negativity, and we become a positive influence, which really starts to shift things. You know, my guides say that they keep seeing that negativity keeps ricocheting from one person to the next.
Right,
you know,
right.
I see a tremendous amount of fear.
Yeah.
And I also see a lot of sensitive people who don't take the power.
Right.
Because when we have power and we make a mistake, it's a bigger mistake than when we don't take power.
Mm-hmm.
And often sensitive people don't want anyone to get hurt and are afraid of making mistakes, so they leave the power to the insensitive people.
Right. Oh, that's we could probably do an entire show on that, but we've got to run now. EllenTadd.com, ELLENTADD.com, and her book is called The Infinite View, A Guidebook for Life on Earth. Ellen, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again sometime very soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.